We get to talk with the Cubs manager a couple times a month, and it's always nice when we do. Craig Counsell joins us on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. Joining us from Minneapolis, St. Paul, is Cubs manager Craig Counsell. Hey, Craig, how you doing?
Good afternoon.
So that was 2 weeks ago, last time we talked to you, and I was fishing around looking for anxiety confirmation. Got the old no. And that was after two Cardinals losses. Then you guys came back and won the next two games in St. Louis. Now, I was looking at this, Craig. After games where the Cubs score one or fewer runs, you guys are 9-3 in the 12 games that follow that and have scored an average of almost 7 runs per game in those 12 games. What is it about this bunch, you think, that shows an ability to bounce back from games like, say, last night in Minnesota?
Well, that's like kind of just fun with numbers. I mean, there's nothing. I mean, I think this is a good baseball team, and I think it's, you know, you just try to be consistent, and you're going to have some bad nights. Last night was a bad night in a 162-game schedule. It's the way it works. You know, your job is to, in baseball, you got, you know, Joe Maddon was great at saying this. You got 30 minutes after a game to enjoy it or be mad about it, and then it's over, and you move on to what's next.
Our segment with Craig Counsell is sponsored by the all-new Toyota on Edens in Northbrook. Visit Toyota on Edens. .com. Last night in the post game, you talked about how you guys were going to go take a look at what was going on with Porter Hodge. What's that like? Are you actually looking at the tape, or are you counting on everyone else in the pitching apparatus to look at the tape and then give you kind of what they think they need to do?
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit of both. Yeah, I mean, it's just kind of reviewing the outing, and it's also, I think, taking the emotion out of the outing. You know, when you walk in here right after 20 minutes after it happens, I think it's important to just take a little time and make sure we got emotion out of everything and look at it with just a clear set of eyes. So that's important. We've decided that we put Porter on the injured list just kind of looking at some more things and talking to Porter. And I don't think it's anything major, but I think we're dealing with a little shoulder stuff that we want to we just got to get it out of there and have him kind of clear-headed as he takes the mound.
Wow, that's interesting. So Porter Hodge to the injured list, because there had been some talk about whether he was tipping pitches a little bit last night. But so Craig, correct me if I'm wrong, but it was originally for Porter a couple months ago, an oblique injury, and then it was a hip impingement, and now it's the shoulder. Is that correct, and are all those things connected in any way in your mind?
Yeah, that's right. Are they connected? Yeah, I mean, I think that's the question you always ask with injuries. I mean, I don't think there's a direct connection, but there's always small areas, you know, they call it the chain of, you know, of events of pitching is the kinetic chain that, you know, you need your whole body to pitch. So obviously things can affect each other and you protect one thing and that puts more stress on another area of the body. So could be, you know, you don't get definitive answers in those areas.
As the game was going on, were you guys looking at him and going, you know, something just seems off, other than the results of the pitch? Like, were you guys going, not sure what's happening there?
Well, the results weren't very good, so that, you know, clearly makes you kind of ask questions. But we've, you know, I think it's one of those situations where, you know, there's some red flags and yellow flags maybe is a better way to say it. And you know, I think a lot of guys have yellow flags during the season, right? That's part of a season. But you're monitoring it. But if at some point it doesn't turn the corner, you got to do something different.
Are you able to tell us what the corresponding roster move is, Craig, to Porter going on the injured list?
Ethan Roberts.
So back up for the bullpen. Ethan Roberts. Craig Counsell here with us on Spiegel and Holmes. The bullpen has been so good. Fifth best bullpen ERA in baseball. 26th in K rate. So what's the correct takeaway from those numbers, if there's anything, for us guys who like to have fun with numbers? What are we supposed to take away from that?
Well, what would you like to take away from it?
My takeaway is that, boy, the defense has been good, and they must be getting some bad contact if they're not necessarily striking that many people out.
Let's go with that.
Okay. Does that concern you when the bullpen's been this good?
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, I think everybody would love, you know, a 40% strikeout rate from every pitcher we have. You know, we'd love the elite strikeout rates. It's, you know, there's no luck involved in a strikeout. Like, can't fall in there. Like on Brad Keller's last outing, I can't hit a blooper if it's a strikeout. And so that's ideal. The other really good result is getting people out. And that's what we're doing really well. And a good defense contributes to that. And that's a way to get people out. That's a way to make your pitching staff better, is to have a really good defense. So, you know, that's where we're at. You know, we want to keep inducing weak contact and keep getting people out. We're going to be in good shape.
Craig, with the All-Star announcements, like, obviously we knew that Tucker and PCA had an opportunity, but I don't want to go over the fact that PCA made an All-Star team. Like, it's a big deal. What was it like having him, being able to share that news with him and his reaction to it?
Yeah, I mean, I think anytime, you know, you have a young player, and this happened so quickly here for Pete, and just to see kind of what he's done in the last 2 months, it's been special. So I think we've all kind of been on that. It's been a quick ride with Pete, and it's been fun. And what he's done this year has been, it's just been a joy to watch. And he's, I think for fans of baseball, it's been a joy. So, it's fun. I mean, I think we get to watch Pete every day, and it's a thrill, and want to continue doing it. And the All-Star game is just, you know, one nod to Pete about, like, you're doing great things. You know, the beauty of, like, sports and stuff is that, like, there's the challenge gets thrown in you the next day of, you know, do it again. But, you know, hopefully when he next week in Atlanta, he gets to enjoy a couple days and soak it all in.
It's a pretty cool spectrum of all-stars that you have, where you have Pete that's kind of at the beginning of his career, and Kyle Tucker is close to becoming a free agent. And then you have Matthew Boyd, like this guy that you guys saw something in, and he's come in and he's delivered. For a manager to have that wide of a spectrum of guys going to the All-Star game, what's that feel like to share it with knowing that these guys are in such different places in their career?
Matt Boyd is a cool one, just because, you know, the 34-year-old first-time All-Star, that's not very common, right? And I thought it's just a great lesson to, you know, to anybody, just when things aren't going your way, you got to show up and you have a good day. And then all of a sudden you put yourself in a position where the result of all those good days you put in, even though you weren't getting the results you wanted, turn into something really good for a stretch of time. And that's what's happened with Matt. And it doesn't happen without kind of putting in all those thousands of good days when it's not that fun and nobody's, you know, wants to interview you after the game or tell you how good you are. So that's cool. And I think Matt's, you know, had a heck of a first half, or more than first half now, 18 starts. It's been fun to watch him go out there and give us a big chance to win every single time he's taking the ball.
We're hoping Seiya Suzuki finds a way in. How do you lead the league in RBIs and not make the All-Star game?
Yeah, I mean, there's some good players in the league, and there's players having great years, and so it's picking a team is always hard, and it's unfortunate because I do think Seiya is no doubt deserving, you know, I think he understands that, but you know, we've got 4 or 5 more days for something to happen, and we obviously don't want other guys to get hurt, but hopeful they're, say, gets a nod here in the next couple of days.
His Cubs career has been really consistent. When you start looking at a guy whose OPS is over 800 in all the years that he's been here, what are, I know it's not just one thing that has a guy make a jump like this. What are the elements inside of what happened between the end of last season to now that has Seiya being this player?
Well, I think one of the things is I think the lineup around him has helped Seiya. I think he's in the beneficiary great position of hitting with a lot of guys on base, and you know, Kyle ahead of him has a, you know, what, 390 or so on base percentage, and that's just means 40 at least 40% of your bats you got somebody on, and that's probably, but it's just by one hitter, right? I think that's helped. I think, and he's understood that, you know, when there's players on base, that like it's swinging the bat that gets the job done, right? It's it's I swing the bat and we score. And I think that's just kind of turned him a little more aggressive. And it's not that it's that confidence. The aggression's really got him to the pull side more is kind of what it's done. Anybody that strong pulls the ball in the air, there's going to be good things are going to happen.
Let's go back to the bullpen with Craig Counsell here on Spiegel and Holmes. How do you think John Birdie improved from outing number one to outing number two? Was it something mechanical or pitch mix? Because the numbers are better.
Yeah, we had that was when we didn't have to wait a long time after the game to discuss. We had a long conversation with John about that. No, he threw a little harder last night, actually.
He did. Yeah, he did, because I know the plan the first time,
He was floating it up there like 45 the last time, and he was in the 60s last night.
And he was thinking about BP. Like, he wanted to be slower than batting practice the first time, and then you guys changed that? Is that right, Craig?
Well, yeah, he changed it, yeah. He realized he wasn't throwing enough strikes, and he's like, well, I just throw strikes and see what happens. I think that's kind of the goal. You're not going to get guys out with stuff in that role. slow, fast, anything. It's not going to be stuff. It's you want guys swinging the bat and you'll catch enough balls.
Who's the best position player pitcher that you've seen in your baseball career, if you remember? It's the important stuff.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you. I mean, you always just want options from my seat, right? Just some guys that are willing to do it. And then once in a while, you'll have the, you know, like Pete will say, I want to pitch. And I'll say, there's no chance you're pitching, Pete. But you just want to have options. And when you have options and they get the job done, you know, it's sometimes, honestly, it can, you know, just take the sting off the loss a little bit, and turn the page a little bit, and then just save the bullpen a little bit.
What, since we like talking about anxiety on this show, what's the anxiety for a batter facing a position player as pitcher?
Well, I mean, I can describe mine.
That's what I was hoping.
As a player, yeah, I did. You know, I struck out once against Jeff Cirillo, who was throwing knuckleballs. And then I think that's why you see so many early swings in those situations, right? Because it's like sometimes you're avoiding the worst result, which is like, don't strike out. That's part of life, right? So you'll see a lot of early swings. So I started swinging early there, and then actually you have a lot of success too.
What kind of stuff does Pete say that he has, Craig?
I think Pete would have pretty good stuff. I mean, he's got a very good arm. Yeah, I mean, he would. I mean, he could, you know, he could touch 90 if he wanted, for sure.
Yeah, I've heard the story about, like, one time he was kicking around a soccer ball at spring training, and somebody went, it was Jed. Jed tells the story. Jed goes up and says, oh, did you play soccer? He said, yeah, I played a lot of soccer. And Jed's like, were you good? And Pete said, I was really good.
That doesn't shock me,
no,
though.
No, of course not.
Of course he would be good.
Of course.
So Craig, we were having a conversation with Nico yesterday about him lining up the cycle, and that there was an opportunity for a natural cycle. And then we got into a fun little baseball thing about cycles versus perfect games and no hitters and things like that. Then last night we have an inside the park home run walk off and another inside the park home run that happened in a game. For you, a baseball lifer, what's your favorite kind of weird baseball anomaly that you love to see happen?
Yeah, I mean, the triple play, probably, if we're on the pitching side, I would say is the big one. I think it's a great play. I the triple play would probably be the one that I would like.
All right, do you want your triple play 5-4-3, or do you want a line out with guys off base?
5-4-3, yeah. 5-4-3, because lots of guys, three guys involved, pitcher involved, multiple runners on, like changes an inning. So yeah, 5-4-3, yeah.
Yeah, that's exciting with all three bases in play and everybody's doing their thing.
All that movement that's going on.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Yeah, I still think this is not like an uncommon baseball play, but like probably the favorite, maybe common, is like the base is loaded and a ball in the gap. Like I love that play because there's just so much going on around the field. Like, is there a play at the plate? Is there going to be a triple? Like, I think that's a great baseball play with a ton going on.
Yeah, it is, because like, where's the relay throw going? Is the pitcher going behind the catcher, or should he be going behind third base to back up? Like, there's all kinds of stuff going on that play. Hey, PCA has been a topic the last 24 hours on the station, because sometimes young players will show frustration, and Pete, sometimes after a strikeout, it happens Saturday, the bat gets kind of thrown on the ground, the helmet gets thrown, maybe picks up the helmet, throws it again, that kind of thing. Is that something that you as a manager have talked about with him, or something that you consider talking about with him?
Yeah, I mean, does it bother you?
It does, actually, a little bit. And I like Pete so much. I love his game so much. So I try not to be, grizzly old baseball police jackass.
Yeah, but you were yesterday.
Well, come on. Am I?
You were definitely baseball police yesterday.
No, but it's just.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. Like, I guess what I think is, I think we want our players to be perfect, right? And then you obviously coach them to be better versions of themselves. But I think we also as people have like blessings and curses, right? So I think the blessing Pete shows every day is like he plays with a lot of emotion, and as a fan you feel that emotion, as a coach you feel that emotion, and it's wonderful, right? We love it. I think to assume there's going to be nothing on the other side of that is not fair to Pete in a lot of ways. So I think Pete's always trying to get better at that stuff. But I think we also should give him some grace as he tries to improve on it.
Well, that's a beautiful answer. That's a very human answer, and thinking about the man as a person, that makes all the sense in the world, because you've known people like that who are great for the same reasons that they might be problematic, because that's how people work, right?
Yeah, I think it's how we all work. Our blessings and our curses are kind of right next to each other a lot of times in life, and when we take them too far, they get us in trouble.
Yeah, I feel you on that, Craig. Since we were talking about the All-Stars and Seiya, there's one more guy that I wanted to bring up. The growth that you've seen in Michael Busch, how do you describe it? Like, well, what do you see in the player that ended last year and had a really solid year, and now to take this jump where he has a legit case to be an All-Star?
Yeah, I mean, I think, in Michael's case, it was a little like, I think it was a little more predictable, because he has such a good foundation as a hitter, right? And essentially, to me, what's happened from year to year is he's just kind of closed or shrunk some of the holes like in the strike zone. So he's just become better in more areas of the strike zone. And they're just really subtle kind of like improvements on his just mechanically and probably experience a little bit from just going around the league. He's just subtly just gotten a little better. So, his hot zone, so to speak, is just a little bit bigger, and his really cold zone is just a little bit smaller. He's able to hit a foul ball on that pitch instead of swing and miss, right? And that makes a difference. Get yourself another pitch, another area for the pitcher to make a mistake. And then he's throwing in this really good zone, and it's going to be problems.
What's the advice for someone going back home and having a large contingent of people being in a stadium that you grew up wanting to play in for a guy like Michael Bush?
Yeah, I mean, I think Michael's, he's, you know, 2 years into his big league career, essentially. So, I wasn't really worried about it yesterday. I think, look, it's a funny one. It's like, it's almost, I think the sense you get when you look at it wrong is like, now my family knows I actually play in the big leagues, even though they've seen you on TV a lot and they've seen you at other places. But like when you do it at home, it's like, yeah, now it's real. So, you know, you kind of put some false stuff on it, but it's really, I think it's, you want to make it special for your family. I mean, I think that's the thing you always think is, you know, they're proud of you. You know, they're super happy for you. You know, they're just super happy, right, to be there and watch you do this. So, you know, you hopefully just let them enjoy it. And I think, you know, Michael could have gone 0-for-4 with 4 strikeouts, and it'd have been a pretty cool day for his family.
Speaking of family, I hope Brady Council gets drafted. What's the feeling in your house and your circle as the draft approaches and you've got a dog in the fight? It's a different kind of thing, I'm sure.
Yeah, we just fired Bob Sugar, the agent, so we're going with Jerry Maguire now, so we'll see what happens.
He will actually really care about your client. I've seen that.
Who's coming with me?
Yeah, that's what Jerry's great at that. He is.
Yeah, he cares a lot. Craig, thanks so much for joining us. Good luck tonight against the Twins.
All right, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Craig.